I got one that's for me anyway. I say, buddy. Well, good morning, folks. It's good to see you out at church this morning, and I sure appreciate the Lord. And today won't be normal. I'm not going to be over in 1 John this morning. But I'm going to try to give you something that the Lord gave me a while back. And so we were over at, we went to the teen thing yesterday. We took the kids, and Brother Holden got up to preach, and he preached a fantastic message. He preached on them youngins not falling off the wagon, that at some point they've got to take responsibility and do this thing for themselves, Brother Doug. We can't do it for them. But Dustin, and he was 100% right, and I was for that. But also I was reminded that while they are with us, we do have a responsibility.
Oh, yes.
And it's very important that we do what we can while we can. And so often we get so busy in life that we forget the importance of the now. Right, we're thinking about tomorrow and the next day, and we're thinking about 10 years from now, and we should. We may not have none of those, though.
Right.
But we've got right now.
Right.
And so what we better be careful of is what we're doing right now. And so I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Well, let's read over in the book of Exodus. Turn there with me. Exodus chapter number 9. Exodus chapter number 9. Seemed like the Lord just started burdening my heart last night after we got back from the teen thing with this thought that I've had for, like I said, a long time now, but I feel like I need to share it today. So Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. And if you know much about your Bible, you know here Moses is going before Pharaoh and the plagues are coming, and this is one of the plagues that we're going to be reading about today. So Exodus chapter 9, verse 13 says this. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Jump on down to verse 18. It says, Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, do you hear that? Now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. How sad a statement right there.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thy hand toward the heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Oh, yes.
And so what a sad picture here that we have in the scripture. And obviously it's a real occurrence. But what you have here is you got some people that chose to heed the word of God, and you got some that chose not to.
Right.
And those that didn't, you know what happened to them? Exactly what God said would happen to them.
Yes.
And so there was only one safe place. It was in the land of Goshen. And I hope everybody is in that safe place today. Dustin, it's just a dangerous place to be when God is given a warning and you refuse to listen. So I want to ask you this question. As I come down to those verses there, verse number 19, he said, "Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every beast, or every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and that shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die." My question to you is, what are you willing to leave in the field?
Oh, brother.
That's the question today. What are you willing to leave out in the elements of this world where you know that something's about to happen?
Yep. Uh-oh.
That's the question of the day.
Good question, brother.
What are you willing to leave out there? Folks, they knew what was coming.
Yep.
Moses told them. And Kevin stands here day in, day out. These preachers stand and preach.
Yep.
And the warning goes out. Says, death is coming. Right. It's sure. It's certain. If not, the Lord's coming.
Right.
One of the two, it's coming.
Yeah.
And after this, the judgment. And if you're lost, what's going to happen? Hell is your home.
Yep.
There's no question about that. So, what are we willing to leave in the field?
Yeah, brother.
You see, you and I have a responsibility. There's things put in our care. There's things that we have that you and I are in control of.
Yes.
We have the responsibility for. Jonah, you have responsibility for your marriage.
That's right.
That's something that you can shelter. You can take care of. Or you can choose to leave it out in the field.
Yep.
Waiting for the elements of this world to hurt it, to harm it. Hey, I've got children. Guess what? If I choose to, I can let them go out in the field and stay there and not pull them into the shelter.
Brother.
All those things. Folks, it's a reality in every life. You have something. I have something. It might not be kids. It might be grandkids. It might be the place you work. It might be the people that God's blessed you with in your life to be around. It's important that you do what you need to do with them while you can.
Yes. Yes.
Don't leave them out in the field. What are you willing to leave out in the field? You see, I was thinking about this, and every one of us has had things in our lives that over time we've, maybe we got them and they were real valuable, but maybe we took them out in the yard and we've laid them down and we forget about them.
Yep.
And we come back after it's rained, it's stormed, we look at them, and it's no longer what it once was because we left it out in the field.
Yeah, brother.
Just a couple weeks ago, my daughter had a jacket, and they were out there playing ball. And that jacket, you know where I found it the next morning when I got up to go to work?
Uh-oh.
It was laying out there in the front yard, Nathaniel, just laying there. Now, of course, that sort of bothers me because guess who provides those things for them, right?
Yeah.
Me and her mom, they're valuable. But it was left out there. How long would it have stayed had I not said something about it? I don't know. Sometimes it's bats and balls. Sometimes it's gloves. I've left hunting, you know, things that I've hunted with out in the field, hunting blinds, all those things. They've stayed too long, and you know what's happened to them, Dustin? You leave them too long, you know what happens?
Yeah, brother.
First off, they start to decay.
Yep, right.
They start losing some things that they once had. But then they degrade. Hey, they used to be right up here, top notch. Next thing you know, they're down here.
Yep.
Well, what happens when something decays, it degrades? What happens to its value? Plummets.
Right.
It goes down. But you leave it out there long enough, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be destroyed.
Yep.
It's going to be destroyed.
Right.
That's no different for our marriages, our families, our church. Your personal faith, your testimony, you leave that thing out there in the world, guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to decay, degrade, devalue, and eventually be destroyed. Folks, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing to think about. But in this instance, we can relate in physical things, right? All of us have left something out that we didn't mean to leave out at some point.
Yes.
And it's got damaged, right? Even your house that's supposed to provide shelter, you leave that thing out in the elements, Adam for 30, 40 years and you never do anything to it, you never maintain it, you never replace the roof on it, what's going to happen to it? It's going down. Going down. It won't last forever. You've got to do something for it. And so it's no different. But today we're not talking about physical things. But we're talking about spiritual matters. Spiritual matters. Don't get me wrong, those things are important. We ought not take what God's given us physically in this life. I mean, from the little things to the big things, and leave them out to decay, degrade, devalue, and be destroyed. Hey, I don't want to take lightly the things that God's blessed me with. I'm talking about physical things. But I sure don't want to take lightly the spiritual things that God's given me. And there's a few things in my life that God has blessed me with, and the Lord's worked in my heart about that. Here's some important areas in your life that you better guard with your life. That you'd better get under the shelter. Get it under shelter. And, of course, you know who the shelter is, right? But I thought one of the first things, one of the simplest things is and this is a physical thing, but we're going to apply it spiritually, is your finances. What about your finances? Every one of us, and we've got a group over in Africa right now, and several of us have been over there. And if you've ever been somewhere like that and you come back here, you recognize the provision that God has given us. And you may live here and you think you're poor. You don't know what poor is. Every one of us here, as far as I know, has clothes to wear, food to eat, a place to live. I can't say that about them people over there. They don't have that. It's not the same, is it, Creston? It's a different world. But I started thinking about the provisions that God has given you and I. And how many people in this world are taking what God has given and they just squander it? They take the finances, the provision that God gives them, that He's enabled you to make, that He's enabled you to go to work. And Dustin, we take that and we squander it. We leave it out in the field of the world. We spend it on all this worldly stuff. And then when it comes down to the end of the month and it's time to pay bills, we can't do it. Is it God's fault? Has He not provided?
Yeah, brother.
He's faithful to provide. He's promised He'd provide. If you're a child of God, you don't have to worry about His provision. We're a lot more value than the lilies of the field. We're more valuable than the birds. He provides for them, so you can guarantee He provides for us. The question is, what are you doing with His provision? Are you taking it out from the shelter where it's supposed to be and putting it out there in the field to be damaged?
Yes.
Folks, it's a dangerous thing to do. To take what God gives you out of where it's supposed to be and put it out there in the world and leave it there. Folks, it won't accomplish what God wants it to accomplish out there. But He has promised He'd provide, but you got to be careful. What happens when we take God's provisions for us and we leave it out there? It brings anxiety. It brings stress. It makes parents have to work overtime. It takes the family out of the home where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. Takes daddy away from mama, and daddy away from kids, and mama away from kids. Because we've squandered what God has already provided. Do you understand what I'm saying today? It's not that God hasn't provided. It's just that we don't value what God has provided for us. He has been faithful to provide, and so when we're working overtime, then it hinders our time from the Lord. I mean, it just trickles down. It affects everybody. So first off, I thought about, you know, our finances, our provisions. But then think about the potential that you're throwing away.
Oh, brother.
If you take the extra that God has given you, and all of that extra goes to worldly things, Dustin, we've just thrown away the potential of what God's given us, the potential blessings that He has for you and I. You ever think about that?
Yeah, brother.
There's nothing wrong with things. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to have things, but don't let the things have you. Right? That's the big thing. But we've looked at this not too long ago, 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul wrote this. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. See, don't put your trust, your faith in those things, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Yep.
Where do our things come from?
Right.
If you have things, He's provided it.
Right.
Provided you the means to get that thing. God wants us to enjoy His provision. But He don't want us to squander it and just throw it away. It says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Don't squander what God's given you, the potential. Every one of us, if you have a dollar extra, there's potential in that, Jordan.
Right.
You say, well, this don't sound like a normal Sunday school lesson. Well, I don't guess it is. But, folks, it's true.
It's right, brother.
It's true. And every one of us here, I shouldn't say that. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of taking what God's provided and wasting it. And I pray the Lord helps me with that. I need help with that. And we're in a place, we're in the United States, and we're blessed to the point we don't even understand it. Until Kristen and I was there for 12 days when we went, I was just starting to wrap my mind around it. Folks, we're blessed. But to whom much is given, much shall be required. Folks, there's a lot going to be required of us when we stand in judgment for what we've done with what God has given us. So I won't stay there long. I want to get to where I really want to go here. Second thing I thought of, and I've already made mention of it, but what about our families? How many of us have left our families out in the field? What I mean by that is let's look at your marriage first. Is God in your marriage? Is God in our marriage?
Yeah, brother.
If He's not, you're leaving it out in the field.
Right.
Are you serving the Lord in unity? If not, you're in a dangerous spot. Are you taking your proper role as a husband? Your proper role as a wife? You doing what God's called you to do? If not, you're leaving that thing out in the field in harm's way. What about living separate lives?
Go ahead.
That's where most of us are at today. Most marriages. It's he has his bank account. She has her bank account. He has her bills. Or he has his bills. She has her bills. You take this kid there. You take that kid there. And we might cross paths and we might not. And if we don't, it's fine. No. My wife just told me one yesterday. Said she knows this couple that was talking about just about to get married, right? Said they're going to have a separate marriage. He's going to live somewhere else up north. Where? He's going to live in Chicago. And she's going to live here. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Well, they work for the same company. It's okay. They'll have conference calls together. Oh, brother. I don't know nothing about their spirituality. Obviously, there ain't none. But I mean, that's right. But living separately, what about working opposite schedules? Man works during the day, woman's going to go to work at night. What does that do for the marriage? Folks, I'm not trying to harm you. I promise.
Oh, it's good,
I promise with everything in me, if my wife came in today and said, honey, I got the best job ever today, but it's going to be 5 days a week from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., I'd say, no, you don't, honey.
Right.
That's right, not a job, brother. You're getting. Tithe ain't worth it.
Right.
It is not worth that. That's just putting it out in harm's way and leaving it there.
Say on, brother.
You can't survive that. Folks, you'd be better off on half the income living where God wants you than to do yourselves that way. You're leaving it out in the field. Don't do it. Folks, don't do it. Hey, if your spouse has got a job that pulls them away for weeks at a time, if it was me, I'd say don't do it. If that's you and you can deal with that, that's on you. That's between you, them, and the Lord. I'm telling you, for my life, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
There are times I have to go away. Usually I take my wife with me. I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. There are times, Adam, I understand. There were times in the Old Testament they went to battle. There's military people that have to go do things. Thank God for them. But for those of us that have a choice, choose to do what you know is right. Choose it. Here's the other thing that'll kill us. Kill us. When we choose to be selfish instead of selfless. In our marriage, if you don't know, in your marriage, you're called to be selfless.
Yes.
Not selfish. And I'm the world's worst. In my marriage, I want what I want. And you do too.
You're right.
Now, you might be better at controlling it than I am. But that's a dangerous place to be. We got to be selfless, not selfish. It's leaving it out in the field.
Yeah, brother.
Last time I checked, before in Ephesians 5, before he ever talked about wives submitting to their husbands, he first said they're supposed to submit to one another.
Right.
Submitting themselves to one another. That's not talking about subjection in the sense of authority. But that's giving each other themselves. Saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here to be what you need. And that's what we're supposed to be. But then not just our marriages, but what I see so often is children. And Dustin, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, brother.
People just taking their kids. They just put them out there in the field. And just leave them there.
Yeah. Yeah, brother.
And I hope to God that we don't have any like that here this morning. They're too precious.
Yep.
Too precious. But people allow in the world to raise their children.
Yeah, brother.
Man, what a dangerous thing. Just leaving them out there. They're making sports their idols.
Yep.
They're not controlling the company that they keep.
Right.
Folks, that's right, in your brother. Control.
Yeah.
If your children are at home, that is yours to deal with.
Yes, sir.
It is yours. Don't fool yourself. Say, I can't control my kids. Well, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
Because as long as they're in my house,
yes, sir.
I'm not saying they won't mess up and that there's not times they're away from me and I can't.
Right.
But as far as generally, I can control it.
Yeah.
You better believe I'm going to control where they go.
Yeah.
I'm going to control who they're around.
Yeah.
I am going to control what they listen to,
yeah.
what they see. I want
to
do my very best to do all. They say, you may look at me and say, you are nuts. Well, I may be, and I don't care.
Amen.
I care about their souls too much to let it go.
Yes, sir.
I'm not leaving my two out there.
Oh, yeah, brother.
When they're 18, 20, and they choose to go out on their own, I can't do anything then, Nathaniel. You've talked about that I don't know how many times. It's their decisions at that point. But as for me and my house right now,
yes, sir.
We will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I will make some mistakes.
Yeah.
I have made some. Said things I regret, done things I regret. Wish I could change some decisions I made in the past.
Oh, yes.
But I'm not going to leave them out in the field. As soon as I see that they're in harm's way,
yeah.
go get them back in.
Right.
I see that times are coming that's getting worse.
Yes,
I don't want to leave them out there. But we're giving their, we're putting technology in their hands, man, and just turning them loose with it. It's a dangerous thing, folks. Pay attention to their phones, their iPads, social media, whatever they have. I don't even know now. But don't just give them free rein on that stuff. Don't let them have a computer in their room by themselves. Don't even let them have a TV in their room by themselves. In my, that's my personal conviction. You do with it what you want to. I had a TV in my room as a kid. I wish I didn't. I'll just tell you. My personal experience. Don't do it. You don't have to. You don't have to. We had a conversation about clothes just the other day with my daughter. Now, I understand my daughter does not, she's not trying to dress immodest. Don't take that at all. But what she finds, what my wife finds constantly in trying to get clothes for her, Brother Jordan, it's almost impossible. Almost impossible for her to dress modest. And I've just told her, I really don't care. She says, but I'm the only one, Dad.
Oh, brother.
Honey, I don't care. And I'll be glad for me to be the only dad that's like this, if that's what it is. Amen. We're going to do this. And I said, if we have to wear them to the ankles every day, that's what we'll do. Amen. If you have to wear boys' clothes to cover your body, that's what we'll do. Whatever it takes. Are those easy conversations? No. Does it bother her to look different? Yes. That's right, ain't it? That's just the way it is. Folks, it's not easy. It's not easy to always go out there and get them out. Sometimes, have you ever been in your house and you've been working out in the morning and you've laid some tools out and you've come in to eat lunch and you sat down and you've about fell asleep, you've got cool and you've ate your lunch and you've sat down and all of a sudden here you hear the rain coming and you think, oh no. Really don't feel like going out there getting that, but does that stop you? If it's valuable enough, it won't. There are times you don't want to go get it stuff out of the field. But if it's valuable enough to you, you will. Need to go get it. But it's not just those things. I mean, not just too much technology, but what about too much alone time? Don't leave them alone. Don't leave them by themselves all the time. Breaks my heart to see people just turn their kids loose to go to their bedrooms, stay for hours on end by themselves. It's dangerous.
Dangerous.
Dangerous place. Don't do that. But what about just not teaching them the scriptures? Not giving them a faithful example, taking them to church? What about not doing family devotions?
Yeah, brother.
Any of those things are leaving your family out in the world, out in the field. And just like I said, not guarding their eyes, their ears, their mouths, and their bodies. Folks, it's your job as a parent. If you've got kids, it is your job. God has entrusted those valuables to you. You better do what you're supposed to do with them. But not just our families. But our faith. Jude said that we're to earnestly contend for the faith,
yes,
which was once delivered to the saints. So I'm not talking about just individual salvation here, but we're talking about corporately our faith. The faith of the saints. I'm talking about our foundation. Where does it come from? It comes out of this book. You know what happens when we leave this book? We're leaving our faith out in the field.
You're right.
But what about our message? The message is preached right here from this pulpit. You must be born again. When we quit that, when we ignore the message that's supposed to be going out, we're leaving that out in the field. Kevin, on mine and your watch. I don't want that.
Me either, brother.
I don't want to lose our foundation. I don't want to lose our message. Folks, I don't want to lose our standards.
Right.
This King James Bible is too important to us.
Yes, it is. You better believe
it. You start swapping, you get something different in, you're just leaving it out there in the field for damage.
Yes.
That's all you're doing. Just leaving it out there. What about our music?
Yep.
Are you willing to leave it out in the field?
No.
Just let anything go? Let the world grow up around it? I don't want our music to blend in with the world's music, Adam.
Hey.
That's not what I want.
I want
it to look different.
Yep.
I want it to sound different.
Yeah.
I want there to be noticeable difference.
Right.
Folks, let's keep it that way.
Yeah, right.
These are important standards that we need to hold to. What about our way of worship?
Yeah.
It's important.
Guaranteed.
I don't need a worship team up here directing me how to do it.
Amen.
No, I want the Holy Ghost directing me how to do it. Let's keep it that way. We've got it that way right now. Let's keep it that way.
Yes.
If we want something different, let's get more of Him.
Right.
More of Him. That's what we need.
Boy, that's real good.
But then what about our standards of modesty?
Yep.
Yes.
Kevin says it. If you're going to get up here, be covered up.
Right. Right.
Folks, I think if you come in them doors, you ought to be covered up.
You better believe it.
That's... We've let our guard down for too long.
Yep.
And if that hurts you, you can probably just say, oh me. If you're worried about whether you're immodest, you probably are.
Yep.
You shouldn't have to think about it.
Right.
That ought to be how this is. You shouldn't have to think about it. The thought should be at home when you go to pick something out of the closet.
Yes.
That's when you think about it.
What?
You shouldn't have to come here and think about, make sure that you sit the right way, make sure that you turn the right way, make sure you don't stand the wrong way.
Preach.
Yep.
Golly, folks.
Yep.
Where have we come to?
Right.
When you sit down, you ought not have to be
not
pulling
have to.
Down. Men, you ought not have to, when you bend over, pull up.
Right.
If you need suspenders, get them. That's right.
Yeah.
This ain't just for women.
Right.
This is for men. Listen, you're not going to see me out mowing my yard without my shirt on. I ain't going to do it.
Right.
I don't want to see you either. Folks, that's stuff that we're just leaving out there in the field. It's easy to pick up and get in. Easy. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Get it out of the field. Let's not leave ourselves vulnerable corporately. To the devil, to the world. But then what about individually, our faith? Do you ever think about leaving yourself vulnerable? What about lack of prayer? Lack of time in the Scripture? Lack of being faithful to the house of God? Personally, I'm talking about individuals now. You know what happens when you lose those things? You're leaving yourself out in the field.
Yep.
Just waiting for the world, waiting for the damage to come. It is going to come. Loose living. Just putting yourself out there. You know that what you do with your time, your talents, and your treasures equals your testimony.
Right.
That's what people see in you. If all your time is spent on other things besides the things of God, people's going to notice. If all your money is going to boats and ATVs and submarines and whatever else you want to buy, and they never see you investing in the Lord, you don't think people notice that?
Right. You're right.
When they see you out on the down at the bar playing music, I mean, I hope that's not the case. This is extreme. Instead of in the house of God, using your talents for the Lord, what does the world see? It might not just be down at the bar. It might be down at a family reunion. But if you can use talents that God's given you down at a family reunion, Why ain't they being used here?
Yes, sir.
Why are you not using what God gives you for the Lord instead of for the world? Folks, I'm getting there. I don't know what
You're
time
there,
it, what
brother.
Time is it? What
You're
time
there.
Is it?
Don't worry about it. March on.
So you might say, so that's the big things, right? Our finances, our families, and our faith. You could just keep going on and on, obviously, about lots of things. That's the things I wanted to deal with this morning. But so here's the next question. So what can we do to protect all these things from getting damaged by the elements of the world? See, there's times, I mean, we've all been there. We've allowed every aspect of those things we mentioned to get out there, right? It's in harm's way. Might have got rained on a little bit. Might have got some damage. And, you know, the first thing I thought about was right here. It says down in verse number 20, it says, "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses." But it said, "And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and cattle in his field." You know what you need to do? First, real simple, regard the word of the Lord.
Yes.
When he says something, do it. Amen. Believe it. Yes. Understand that if he says this is going to happen if you do this, believe what he says. Amen. He's telling you the truth. He cannot lie. God will not lie. That word regard means to observe, to attend to with respect and estimation, to value, to esteem, to hold it in respect and affection, to keep it. Listen to what he says and do what he says. Mm-hmm. Folks, it's important. Number one, regard God's word. Second, recognize God's warnings.
Yes.
They're within his word, but you better particularly pay attention when he's warning you about something. See, what Dustin, it wasn't that he just told him to get out of the field. That would have been enough. That would have been just his word, enough command to get them. But then he told them what was going to happen if they didn't. He said they are going to get hailed on.
Yeah.
Folks, understand, God has given us plenty of warnings in His Scripture. Folks, we leave our kids out in the world. They don't ever get born again because we just let them do what they want to do. What's going to happen to them? He's told us what's going to happen. If we don't do something, they're just liable to end up in hell.
Yeah. You're right.
I don't want that. I want to do everything I can to keep that from happening. So we want to recognize God's warning. The book of Romans chapter 1 teaches us about that. I'm just going to read that for you here. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says this. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." That's still true today.
Yeah.
"Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." See, that's what happened. These people knew the truth, but they failed to heed to what God said.
Oh, yeah.
And the wrath of God is revealed against them. And there's nobody that's not susceptible to that, except for those that are born again. We'll never see His wrath. But what we do while we're here affects whether others may or not. You impact other people. You leave them kids out in the field, you better believe that you're allowing that to come their way. You're not doing anything for it. So be careful. I mean, Galatians 6, Kevin, you sent out that message this morning. Had this in my lesson. We're going to reap what we sow. That's still true. Still true today. God is not mocked. You sow to the flesh, you want to know the flesh, reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. I mean, you can just, it is what it is. That's what Scripture teaches. So you can regard God's Word, we can recognize God's warnings, but here's a real important one. Repent of your wrong.
Yeah, brother.
You remember what Jonah did when he was down in the belly of the whale? We just read this the other night with our kids. He remembered the Lord. And when his word came in chapter 3 a second time, the next word said Jonah arose.
Right.
Brother Delmer, he made a difference. He just chose to heed to what God said the second time. Folks, we can't change the past.
Right.
We've all made mistakes. We've all left things out in the world. Yep. They've got damage. Damage is done. But we can prevent any future damage.
Right.
Let's go get the stuff out of the field. Get it in. Let's clean it up as best we can. You know what? When I take a gun out in the field and it gets rained on, you know what I do? I get it in the house, Jordan. I clean it up as quickly as possible. There may have been a little damage, but I'm going to do as good as I can to prevent that from going any further. We ought to do the same with this Christian life. That's what we need to do. We need to repent of our wrong. Can't change past, but we can change the future. But then here's something. I know they're coming back. Can I finish? Brother, I've only got just a couple more minutes and I'll be done. But here's a biggie. Here's a real biggie, and I want everybody to hear this morning. You've got to reckon the worth.
Yep.
Reckon the worth. I'm going to use my children, for example, because that's really what God stirred in my personal heart about, was my kids and my marriage. But I'm going to use my kids as the example. You know, when we're talking about value, everything in itself has some intrinsic value. I mean, whatever we're talking about, just on its own, it has a certain value. And guess what? My kids are very valuable. Intrinsically, just because God gave them to me, He provided them, they are His creation, and they're my responsibility. Guess what? They're valuable. If I choose to do anything with them or not, does not change that they are valuable to the Lord. They're intrinsically valuable. But there was a day, a little over 13 years ago, when God gave them to me, when Chloe came along. And she was intrinsically valuable. But there was something that happened. I started investing. As time went on, we brought her to church. Brother Dustin, as she got a little older, we were teaching her about the Lord. As time has went on, we've instilled truths in her. We've put our time, our treasures.
Sure.
I've instilled talents in her. I mean, everything that I could do, Kevin.
Yep.
I've invested in her. And not just her, Eli as well, when he came along. So it's not just now that they're intrinsically valuable, Dustin, but they're even more valuable to me because of the investments that we've made in them.
Yep.
Now I've invested 13 years of mine and Kelsey's lives in these children, these gifts that God has given.
Yep.
Do you agree that makes them more valuable to you?
Sure, yeah.
The more time, the more investment you make in something, it's more valuable to you, right? I hope so. But then the last thing, I thought, that's the two things that I can see. But there's third thing that's out there. There's some interest that's going to be gained off of these investments one day.
Oh, yes.
What I'm saying is there's growth potential. I invested in them, Jordan, from the time they were little till now, and I'm going to keep investing as long as I can. But you know what I'm already starting to see?
Yeah, brother.
I'm seeing some growth that,
yes,
that I didn't do.
Yes.
It wasn't me. But there was somebody else that said, well, I saw the value it had originally, and I've seen your investment, and I'm going to honor that investment with some growth.
Right.
And so we're seeing that. And I thank God for it.
Yes.
That's important to me. I want to see them grow, Dustin. If I leave them out in the field, that ain't going to happen. But if I just keep investing, the growth potential is astronomical. You say, where do you get that? Well, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You reckon he can do more than what I can?
Oh, yes.
Dustin, I can do a little bit. But he can make it real, real big. But I got to keep him out of the field. I got to do my best. Lastly here, We've just got to be willing to relinquish our will to His.
Yeah.
See, that's our problem. We try to grab on to things and do it our way. But when we get to a point where we're just willing to give ourselves to Him and say, Lord, if it's hard, we're going to just do it your way anyway. And just give it to Him. You see, after all, He is the shelter. Read with me Psalm 61. Psalm chapter 61, verse number 2. It says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me.
Yes.
And a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Where do we find shelter? If you're going to get shelter, you're going to get it in the Lord. That's where we're going to get it. So I appreciate the good attention. In conclusion, I'm going to say this. You might say, well, I don't have enough shelter to fit everything that I have. Sometimes you may say, well, I ain't got enough of that time to invest in the kids.
Yeah, brother.
That's not a problem on God's part. He's a plenty big shelter.
Right.
Plenty big. The problem lies on you and I. It's our priorities. It's that we've allowed all this other stuff to come in, and we're trying to shelter this, and we're trying to shelter this. We're trying to get the balls and the bats and the basketballs and the boats and the ATVs, and we're working on them, and we're maintaining them, and we got to do this, and we got to do this. And once we do all that, then it's bedtime. And there's no time to shelter them kids. There's no time to shelter that marriage. Everybody's wore out. Is that God's fault? Last time I checked, He gave us all 24 hours in the day. 365 days a year. However many years you got. It's not on God, folks. He's a shelter. And we can choose whether we shelter ourselves under His wings. And we can choose if we stay under His tabernacle. Or we can let our stuff ease on out there into the field and stay out there in the elements.
Right.
The question is, what are we going to do? What are you willing to leave out in the field? I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. I hope it stirred something up in your heart. It helped me anyway. So I sure appreciate y'all. We'll have prayer for whoever wants to pray.
Listen, come play something. You stand here this morning. You heard the word of God. There's no doubt in my mind it's God about all of us. And I want to regard that. We're going to have her play. You stand to your feet. God spoke to your heart and you need to do business with God. Come do business with God. Come do business with God.
God in heaven, I bow my head.